Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives, and we can promise you, you're going to have the time of your life listening to this episode. I don't know. Put an asterisk next to that. I don't know if that's true. But anyway, I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. I'm so sorry. If this is your first episode and you didn't find that joke funny, it's all downhill from here. They don't get much better. And then joining me on this episode is my beautiful wife, Sarah Eastridge.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
And this is a movie, I don't know if you can tell, but this is a movie that I didn't pick.
I picked it.
You picked it. Because you've seen this.
I have.
You have seen this. Yes. And this is a movie I haven't seen. As we said, this is a show where one or more of the hosts is watching a movie they haven't seen before. And the world will never be the same again. So this is very exciting. But before we kick things off, I want to give a little plug to the Nerd Party, which is, what is that? What is the Nerd Party, you ask? You found it. You have happened upon the Nerd Party. It's a network of podcasts where we talk and we sing and we dance. We don't sing or dance, but I mean, we could, but we're not going to. But we're here and we're here for you. And it's thenerdparty.com. We've got all sorts of great stuff going on. We've got Star Trek podcasts, Doctor Who, movie podcasts, everything you could possibly want out of life to fulfill every aspect of your nerddom. It's here. And it's waiting for you. Just go to thenerdparty.com. And now that we've done that, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
You've never seen it.
Dirty Dancing. I've never seen it.
It's because you didn't grow up with any sisters anything.
This is going to sound really... I don't mean this to sound offensive. It's because I'm not a girl. I feel like Dirty Dancing is very much one of those movies like girls grow up, like they watch this and they love this movie. But for whatever reason, I think it just kind of, as a young boy,
it's and you like, had a brother, Dirty Dancing. So it's not even like a sister could have influenced you. What about your mom, though?
My mom may have liked this.
Yeah.
She hasn't talked about this much, but she is a fan
she
of this kind
of...
She
likes a lot of the iconic.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's a romantic kind of underdog-esque movie. It's very in line with, I think, the kind of movie she would like.
Get Mama Eastridge on the show.
Yeah, exactly. And so but I never saw it. And I'd grown up... It had been in the background of my mind. Maybe I thought because it was called Dirty Dancing, I wasn't allowed to watch it. Maybe that's why no one in my family talked about it.
Was it PG-13?
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Okay.
And it was 1987, so I was a year old when this movie
came out. I know
it
does have, obviously, Dirty Dancing, but it does have a couple subjects in there that, like, maybe your, like, seven-year-old daughter wouldn't be watching yet.
Sure, but at the same time, you could say the same about Grease, which is extremely inappropriate.
Or 16 Candles. Like a lot of those amazing movies are still kind of like,
Dirty Dancing at the very least it's PG-13, but in the 80s, PG-13, every so often, even PG movies could basically, I mean, we're talking about Temple of Doom came out in that decade, and that is borderline an R-rated movie. So, especially with like romances and comedies, they still hadn't quite figured out okay, what qualifies it as R and what qualifies it as PG-13. So I guess I'm kind of interested to see if this movie falls into that kind of little space.
I think it might. I'd have to, we'll wait and see. It's been a minute since I've seen this. I haven't seen this movie in at least 10 years.
Oh, so this is not, is this like a good, like a favorite movie of yours?
I love this movie. I just haven't seen it. I saw a ton and then I just haven't seen it. In 10 years.
Do you remember when you first saw it?
I was young and I was not allowed to watch it. I remember that because I had to like sneak it or something, if I remember correctly. But that was just growing up. I had to sneak a lot of movies. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
No, sorry. All the Dirty Dancing they had to put up with.
Uh-huh.
It's just atrocious. This movie was never on my radar at all. Even like a movie like Footloose, which was... I kind of associate those two movies because they're
dancing movies.
Dancing movies with great soundtracks.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if this movie has a great soundtrack. I know the one song, you know, I've Had the Time of My Life. For those of you who didn't get it at the front of this episode, I made a joke about it that wasn't funny and you can go back and listen and still not laugh at it. But I know that song. Doesn't the line "Nobody puts baby in corner" come from this movie?
Yes.
Okay. So I know that too.
That's true. And that's used everywhere.
So I know that, I guess, what's her name is... Baby.
Yep.
What is her name?
It's Baby.
No. What's Jennifer Grey?
Oh.
That's it. Well, it's Baby.
Baby.
Baby. Baby. Baby. Baby. That's about all I know about it. And I know she was in Ferris Bueller. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because she's very pretty, but she doesn't strike you, especially in Ferris Bueller, the only thing I've seen her in. If someone had told me, like, oh, yeah, that's the girl in Dirty Dancing. Dirty Dancing, for some reason, to me, I think, oh, it's exotic. It's Patrick Swayze and beautiful people. And Jennifer Grey isn't necessarily what I would call, like,
she's kind of a unique beauty.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see it in this film because her dancing is awesome. Now, you know, it's just she's more sensual. And
now that I'm thinking about it, that's probably the point. Yes. Of the character is like, oh, so she too. Isn't necessarily what you would think of as like, oh, the yeah. beautiful model dancer.
Exactly.
She's got her own brand of dancing.
Yes.
She's going to show that the shady little kind. Town. Yeah, exactly. So, and then I assume Patrick Swayze he brings it out
That's
of her.
That's Johnny.
Johnny.
Yep, Johnny.
Brings it out of her. Completely.
Baby and Johnny.
How similar to the Johnny in the Karate Kid in Cobra Kai is Patrick
Same
Swayze?
Same person. No,
Is it a coincidence that the two episodes we've done together have
Lots
a character named Johnny?
I don't know. We're going to have to analyze
this
later.
We're going to have to do this.
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely when people see Dirty Dancing, the first thing they think is that's the Karate Kid character's name.
And you must also know the famous lift.
Yes, the lift that they're building to. So that's been spoiled. I know that's...
Well, what movie did we see that in with... Ryan Gosling and
The Notebook?
No. You
La
know,
La Land?
No. Ryan, I'll tell you everyone who's in it. Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, and Steve Carell.
Oh, Crazy Stupid Love?
He does the lift.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Is that what it's called? Crazy Stupid Love,
yes,
right?
Yes. But he does
Is
the lift.
Is that it? And now I feel like I don't know if that's it.
Stupid Crazy Love, Love
Crazy,
crazy
Stupid.
Stupid.
Love. We're going to go to the handy dandy internet.
Of those three
crazy,
words.
Crazy Stupid Love. Which was a surprisingly good movie, by the way.
That
I actually
movie.
Really liked
yeah,
it a lot.
I liked it too. I thought it was going to be more just straight up chick flicks.
I thought it was
going to
be just really stupid.
Yeah,
and
it had
actually,
layers. It was good.
That's it. Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, so Ryan
so
Gosling
Crazy Stupid
does
Love.
The lift.
Yes, Crazy yeah. Stupid Love, the movie we're watching today. but yeah, so I know all about the lift.
Yeah.
And I, other than that, I know next to nothing about. I know nothing
that's
about this
fun.
Movie. It is fun.
You know
and
where
that's
it takes place?
No.
It's in like the Catskill Mountains, I think.
Spoiler alert. No, I know.
But
might
you
as well
can
not
go.
Watch it.
You can go to like the lake and they do tours.
Oh, you can.
And
can
fun
they'll
stuff.
Lift you up.
They'll lift you up. Well, you know, there is a Dirty Dancing Festival that they do every year in like North Carolina, I think. And you can like learn to do the lift and stuff.
So
I don't
good.
Know. Like, apparently you can buy tickets and it's been going on since the movie.
I'd be terrified. I wouldn't trust myself to be able to lift anyone.
Well, they do it in water. Like, so if you fall, you just fall in water.
Nice.
It's a little safer.
I remember, this has nothing to do with Dirty Dancing, but everything to do with Footloose, because why not? But I remember I was in Footloose, the play, when
the
I was in high school. And there was one point where they were, the choreographer was trying to put the stance together. This is a guy named Tony, very flamboyant, very out there, very enthusiastic, and he was great. And there was one point where he's trying to work through the choreography for one of the dances, and there was a point where he wanted the guys to kind of help lift a girl off the ground. Like, there were a few different guys and a few different girls, and I was one of the guys, and you wanted to like lift this girl, kind of pick her up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained that this was going to happen, and the girl in front of me turned around and looked at me, and I'm like a skinny little stick, and she, like, the look of horror on her face. I don't know if it was more devastating to my self-esteem or just purely hilarious.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, she looked at me, and that was basically, she was like, I don't think we can do that, Tony.
Wait, did you guys do it?
No, we didn't. We switched the choreography.
She's dead.
I have to. I would like to think it's all my fault. But yeah, so as you can tell by the rambling nature of the first part of this episode, I know nothing.
Mini lift,
yes, I failed my mini lift. Clearly, if I'd seen Dirty Dancing, maybe I would have been more inspired to do it.
Maybe.
But I hadn't.
I always wanted to do it as a girl.
So the other thing I know about this movie, you know, it was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Made for $6 million. It made $214 million worldwide.
I didn't realize they had such a small budget. So they definitely made the money.
Yeah. I mean, these were the days where you could make that kind of small movie. And the same thing we were talking about with Karate Kid, that was made for roughly a similar amount of money.
Yeah.
Made a similar gross. Like, it's just these movies.
We have a theme.
Yeah. These movies. I miss the days when you could do that. It feels like nowadays indie movies, small movies don't really get that.
Yeah.
But this was directed by Emil Ardolino, who also directed Sister Act. Which I have seen. Yeah.
I love Sister Act.
Which I really enjoyed. And
I'm feeling very nostalgic in this episode.
Yeah.
Like everything we're mentioning, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I know. I feel nostalgic for it, and I haven't even seen it. And then he directed Three Men and a Little Lady.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Three Men and a Baby.
That's the sequel to Three Men and a Baby, which was directed by Leonard Nimoy.
Really?
Yeah.
You are blowing my mind.
Isn't
right
that crazy?
Now.
I'm
Tell me
your mind
about
with
Father
facts.
Of the Bride and Wolf Covered My
facts
Whole Childhood.
From completely different movies. But yeah, Three Men and a Lady, a Little Lady. I don't know if it was really
I never
good,
even heard
but
of that.
I love, I mean, Sister Act is
That's
fun.
That's fascinating. So, I know that a woman wrote the script for this movie.
For this movie? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say I know. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Eleanor Bergstein.
Sounds like a lady.
Yeah. I wonder what else she's done. I'm going to look her up real quick. So she hasn't really done that much. She did a movie called It's My Turn in 1980 and then Dirty Dancing. And that's really it. And then she did like a 2004 stage production of
okay.
Dirty Dancing, like a musical version.
Oh, really?
Of it.
So it's much
so
more recent.
She hasn't written that much. I mean, that's kind of cool. You can just write a really popular movie and then be like, I'm good. It's
well,
like,
I imagine there's some good residuals on that.
I'm
well,
sure.
Maybe not. I don't know. Writers can get screwed a lot on these big old movies.
So interesting. But yeah, this is really the only thing she did was
so
Dirty
cool.
Dancing. So. Yeah, and I wonder, I don't know if it was nominated for anything, or it was,
I
guarantee
it
you it was nominated for Best Song. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it won Best Song.
It did.
So it won Best Song at the 1988.
Just kidding.
It was the only nomination, and it won Best Song.
It deserved that.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
So, I'm...
And Patrick Swayze is such a dream in this movie.
I mean, he's great. I love
he's
him.
Wonderful.
We just watched him, Aaron and I watched him in Point Break, which I'd never seen before. Go
yeah.
check out that episode if you want to find out what I thought. But
I love him
Patrick
so
Swayze
much.
Is great.
Yeah,
he's
I had
great.
The biggest crush
Well, we
on
had
him.
A long conversation about,
yeah.
like, I can't believe he's dead. It's
yeah.
so hard to remember because
You almost
because
forget,
he's
and
so,
I don't
yeah.
mean that in a disrespectful way. It's
yeah.
just like, you feel like he's just around. Of course
I know.
He's around.
Well,
because he definitely left before his time.
Part
you know?
Of me wonders, because he wasn't in a whole lot near the end of his life. And it felt like, maybe, it, like... That kind of contributed to
Maybe.
Just subconsciously.
He was
like,
very
oh,
sick,
he, yeah.
at least towards the very end.
You know,
but
he passed away in 2009.
Yeah.
He was 57.
Yeah. Because I remember hearing that he was like how ill he was. And then I swear he passed like right after. Like
yeah.
it was such a quick turnaround. And it was just so sad.
It's funny. I you know, thinking about it, I haven't seen him in a whole lot. Like I haven't seen Ghost.
Oh, really?
Which we should totally see.
Ghost is
and then,
so good.
Yeah. And then I also haven't
and
seen.
And like Demi Moore isn't an. I don't know if she's in stuff now, but I feel like I have not seen her in anything
right.
lately either.
And I haven't seen Red Dawn, Roadhouse, which I hear is absurd.
I've never seen Roadhouse either.
And he's in The Outsiders. Donnie Darko I have seen. I think everybody's seen it, but he was so good in Donnie Darko.
Wait, who was he in Donnie Darko?
He was like the weird motivational speaker who turned out to be like a pedophile.
I'm kind of in the minority and I'm not a huge fan of that movie.
Yeah, it's so funny because I thought I would hate Donnie Darko and I ended up really liking it.
I mean, if there's something I dislike more, it's the sequel because that
right.
was rough.
No, we
like,
don't talk
really
about
rough.
That.
We don't talk about
but,
that.
But yeah, so I don't really care about this movie. I do want to watch it because I know it's a movie. That's what Missing Frames is about. We watch these movies that have some sort of reputation. They're a cult classic. Maybe
yeah.
they're not beloved. I don't know if this movie got great reviews.
I think it did.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm pretty Let's sure see. It got decent reviews.
Yeah. So it's got a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like, okay. But people love this movie. So I hope I like it. I don't like disliking these movies, but I'm kind of ambivalent towards it because I don't think people have been so outspoken about it. That they're like, you have to see it, except for you just now when we were deciding what movie to watch for this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just, I think it's definitely more geared towards women. But I don't know. It's
I'd
fun.
Like to think there's a woman inside me just waiting to like blossom.
Well, there's
forth.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, not so much. I don't think I have that in me. He's untouchable.
That's true.
He's a beautiful man.
He is.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do this.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. Sarah's dancing.
I'm dancing.
You're not dirty dancing, but you are dancing.
I'm regular dancing.
You're regular dancing. I liked this movie.
Oh, yay!
I liked it. I want to say I liked it a lot, even though I didn't like it a lot. Like I didn't love it, but I liked it.
But there's something about
which
it,
which is
right?
like almost. It's funny how being surprised by liking a movie makes you want to be like, I liked it so much.
I'll shout it from the mountaintops.
But I, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised because I, as
awesome.
You are, have already heard, I was not really looking forward to it. I
right.
didn't expect to like it, and I thought I was going to have to brace the audience for another episode where I'm like, you know, I didn't really like it, but I liked it.
Yes.
And the movie knew exactly what it was. It knew it was fun. It had great dancing. It had a sweet little romance. And Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey are great.
They're awesome.
They're great. They make the movie. You really love them. And I take back everything I said about Jennifer Grey not being pretty, because she's gorgeous. I don't know what
she's
I was
stunning,
thinking.
She's stunning, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
I don't know.
You didn't say she wasn't pretty.
No, I did. I was like, she's a little like plain. But
she's
like even
not conventionally.
Yeah, even in her plain mode, I was like, oh, she's really pretty.
Yeah.
But she looks younger than she did in Ferris Bueller. I don't know why.
Yeah, so in this movie, I believe she's late 20s. She's like 27. So,
okay, I buy
but
that.
She does have like, I mean, a baby face, if you will.
She does. She looks very little. Like every time they put her in frame with like adults, she's like a little baby girl. Yeah. Like she looked like a hobbit.
And Patrick Swayze is like,
he's
very
big,
beefy.
Buff. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, but yeah, so I did. I liked it. This movie is a movie that thinks it's taking place in the 60s, but is really taking place in the 80s. And right from the get-go, I didn't know this was a period piece, or it was supposed to be like, or I guess, I don't know if you call that a period piece. I guess technically it is, because it's
the late 60s.
Yeah, it's, no,
right?
It's the early 60s.
Early. Oh, like, okay.
She says at the beginning, the only time her narration is ever in the movie, she's like, yes, the summer right before the Beatles, 1962.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like, wait, this is 1962, and she has 80s hair. Like, it's like, okay. Immediately, I was like, what's going on? And I wasn't sure if it was just the fact that I was so tied into Dirty Dancing being made in the 80s. But then throughout the movie, very little that they do reinforces the idea that this takes place in the 60s. Some costume changes and some vehicles, but that's it. Because the soundtrack is consistently 80s. And the whole time I kept saying to you, I was like, this movie doesn't take place in the 60s. It's the 80s. And it's finally confirmed in the final scene where they actually dance to I Am Having the Time of My Life. It's the dance is choreographed to the music, a song from the 80s. And then Johnny sings it to her. He's mouthing the words.
I think
and it's
you're
like,
getting too caught up in
I can't get... just be happy that I liked it. But I cannot get over the fact that this movie was like, it takes place in the 60s and they do nothing to back that
I wonder
up.
If there are articles about that. I never thought about it, but you were just grumbling so much that I had to think about it.
I just am so in tune. Like, I listen to a lot of music from the 60s. I watch a lot of stuff.
You're
I
an
mean,
expert,
I love the
my
Beatles.
Dear.
I'm the ex- I am yeah. the foremost expert on that decade in the history of mankind. But it was just immediately it didn't take me out of the movie, but I was like, why even bother making this the 60s? I mean, can you think of a reason why they might have made this specifically that decade when nothing in the movie seems to speak to that?
I don't know, maybe it was something, it was in the script and then they just didn't play it out.
Well, the screenwriter, hold on, let me pull up her name again because I totally forgot what it is.
Eleanor
Eleanor Bergstein. So apparently this is kind of based on like true life experiences for her, like loosely based. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. One can only hope.
Sounds like a good summer.
But my guess is that she was probably very tied to that decade. Like, it's a 60s movie. And then I guess Ardolino, the director, was just like, but it's the 80s. Let's make it. Because there's no, I don't get it. The only things I can think are... one, this movie deals very heavily, kind of, you know, this movie is funny in a way because it has a lot of different plots. There's the main plot of Johnny and Baby's relationship, but then it kind of throws a lot of things into the mix. Like, oh, here's a girl who has to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Baby is kind of suppressed and needs to express herself and her parents don't understand her. A lot of different plots. And then this guy, this sleazeball, I can't remember the character's name. But the sleazeball who...
Bobby?
Bobby.
The other guy.
Yeah. Robbie. Robbie. So
Robbie,
the guy
Bobby.
The guy who got the girl pregnant.
Yeah, Penny.
Penny. There's kind of a little subplot with him. And there's a subplot with Johnny. Like, oh, I feel used.
And then the sister saying she's going to
There's like a million subplots in this movie that don't go anywhere. It's funny because I feel like I would have like hated that in any other movie. But the energy and spirit of this movie is so upbeat consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the point, I think maybe the abortion storyline was probably... They were like, oh, we have to put it in the 60s. Because maybe by the 80s, I don't know for sure. It's still a taboo subject in this day and age. But I mean, I'm sure in the 80s they were a little bit more progressive. So maybe they were kind of like, oh, this storyline wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's true. And she obviously had a back alley.
Yes, you know? It was very sketchy in that regard. And then maybe just the promiscuous nature of the dancing, you know, in the 80s, you know, we had Michael Jackson and Prince, so clearly that, it wasn't a problem for that kind of music and dancing. But it still felt there. That's the only thing I can think of. But really, you could have put this movie in the 80s, and I think it would have had the same effect. You know, kind of a pent up. You could have just made it a pent up girl living in a lonely world, and she's kind of, you know, she's never experienced. You know, I'm really hung up on this.
I don't know why, because it's stupid. It doesn't matter. It's a great movie. Yeah, get on my level.
That's my biggest complaint, I think, about this movie.
Yeah, and guys, he complained about it like maybe 10 times. Every time a new song came on, he'd be like, oh my God.
Well, not the music, not just the music, but the fact that everyone has 80s haircuts and the style of clothing. It was just very, very, they made no effort to disguise this. But it was really good. And it was a very sweet story. Like I said, it was kind of all over the place. It was very,
like a good way.
Yeah, it was fun. It didn't harm the movie, because so much of the movie is centered on this relationship between the two of them.
Yeah.
And very early on, their chemistry is very strong.
Oh, yeah.
And Patrick Swayze, as we've already said, is great. But Jennifer Grey has this very endearing quality to her. And like I said, I've only seen her in Ferris Bueller, where she's kind of this very angry character who's constantly like, I hate my brother and I want to ruin, like, how does he get away with everything? So she's very negative. So you kind of see her in a disgruntled mode that entire movie. And then in this movie, she's just a very sweet girl. And I immediately connected with her and Johnny. And it was, you know, not necessarily because I related to the characters, but because they were so sincere in their emotions.
Yeah. You really felt like they loved each other.
Which is funny, because apparently in real life they didn't.
That's so interesting, because how do you fake that chemistry? I mean, their chemistry is astounding in this film.
So, and apparently, so what happened was they'd worked on Red Dawn together, apparently.
Okay.
And they'd had issues on that movie. But by the time they auditioned for Dirty Dancing, they were kind of like, we resolved it, and they were able to kind of
move on. Just
like hit it out of the park with their screen test. But then they start doing filming, and those problems come back again, and they start literally, apparently they couldn't get through takes without them freaking out at each other. Wow. And you see little instances of it in the movie. The scene they show, it's such a great moment when he's like practicing with her, and he keeps sliding his hand down her arm, and she keeps laughing.
Yeah.
That was sincere. That was real. And his expression of annoyance was his genuine expression of annoyance.
And it's so funny, because that's such a tender, funny moment in the film. And it I mean, if I was directing this, I'd be like, that is gold. Like, that's perfect, because it's such a pretty example of their relationship. And I don't know. I like
it. It's funny. But
I don't want to know the truth.
Apparently it got so bad, though, that like the director finally sat them down and was like, watch your screen test. Tap back into that. And apparently they kind of were like, okay, all right, let's do this. And they did it, and they made it happen.
Yeah.
But it's incredible. Like you said, it's incredible to think that they didn't get along.
I don't want to think about it.
Don't think about it. And you shouldn't, because you never get that hint in the movie, except early on when he's trying to teach her the ways of the dirty dancing. And the dancing was great.
The dancing's great. Patrick Swayze is like, my God. Fantastic. Yeah. And you know, okay, so he was a trained like ballet dancer before he was an actor.
No, I didn't know
that. So if you're wondering why he's so good.
Because he's too good.
That's what he did. His mom had like a studio or a dance studio, and he like was raised in it. And then he was a professional dancer for however. I don't know how he got into acting, but he was in at least, what, 3 movies where he danced?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So they used it.
I mean, it's incredible.
He's just lucky that he's also
the first dance. He kind of comes out like boom, and I muttered a swear word I can't repeat on this show. Yeah. But like, I was so taken aback. I was like, oh my God, all right,
this is really great. Oh, this is real.
Yeah. The movie has a strong energy that kind of pushes you through the weaker points, because there are weaker points. It's a very generic, like, you know, safe girl falls in love with the bad boy. Right. Her parents don't approve. There's a lot of like. It's weird, because the movie doesn't necessarily establish early on that she is being suppressed by her parents. It seems like it's a very loving family. So that kind of came out of nowhere when all of a sudden her dad was like, I don't know, prove and da da da.
I never really got the idea that she was suppressed, because if you think about it, that's like a normal dad reaction.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, you're like, oh, she's hanging around these people. I gave her cash. She took that cash right. to help someone get an abortion. It's illegal. And then it ends up being a back alley abortion. And then you meet the guy that you think is responsible. Like, that's a normal dad reaction. That's
also,
get away from my kid.
The dad, the dad behaves very calmly, all things considered. Because
he is a doctor.
Yeah, she goes and gets him. You know, this woman has an abortion, terrible. It's like botched and it goes really badly. And baby gets her dad because he's a doctor and brings him over and he helps her and heals her. And he handles the situation really well. But it's absurd, too, that she's like, Dad, I need $250 so my friends will like me. My new friends will like me. It's a goofy movie. There's so many little plot points that are like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think it's really the performances that kind of push you through and carry it on. Because I think just repeating it now, there's so many little instances that I feel like would have annoyed me otherwise.
This movie is just charming for me. It's just very charming. It's like you forgive all those little caveats, because overall you get this really sweet feeling, I feel like.
Yeah, it's the sincerity of those performances.
Yeah.
It really does rely on Gray and Swayze a lot. But I also was very excited that Wayne Knight was in this movie.
Yeah.
Dennis Nedry. I did not know that at all. And
no,
so when
I
he appeared, it was
forgotten.
Like, oh, my God. It's weird to see him in anything that's not Jurassic Park or Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Because that's all. So to think of him in this movie, which is also, I think of as a very, you know, it's a very 80s movie, even though it's supposed to be in the 60s. But beyond that, it is weird to see him in another kind of movie where it's like, oh, you're an actor.
Yeah.
You appear in other things. But that was cool. And he had a little part, but he was very funny in that part.
And Kelly Bishop played baby's mom, and Kelly Bishop is Emily Gilmore.
Right.
Gilmore Girls. And I just completely blanked that from my memory. I don't know. Maybe I watched Gilmore Girls after and then before revisiting it, so it doesn't like click in your brain. But that's so cool, because I feel like I've never seen her in anything but Gilmore Girls, and she's so fantastic in Gilmore Girls.
Right.
She's like a tour de force. So that was really fun. She didn't have like a huge role, but she had some good little quips.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, baby gets her dancing from me. Yeah.
Right.
She's like this very reserved.
And then she has her little hula dance. That's really funny.
And then she gets a little sexy at the very end.
Yeah. So it's talking about some of the more controversial stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
Why your parents probably didn't let you watch it.
Yeah.
So,
now. Okay. This makes sense.
Yeah. Watching it. I mean.
Adult themes.
There's
for
a
sure.
lot of adult themes in this movie. Like very like. First of all, it's very sexual, like lots of that happening. And then the abortion, very much so. You kind of didn't mention it in the pre-show, but was that?
That's one of when I was saying like, PG-13, that's what I remember, that storyline. Because that's hard to put in a PG movie, I think, even talking about it. You just can't.
To,
yeah.
That's
maybe
probably,
now, but probably
that
not.
Alone probably earned it the PG-13.
Yeah, because I don't even think there weren't much swearing.
It isn't
the dancing
much swearing,
was pretty sexual.
Yeah,
but the sex scenes were not sexual.
No,
which
they
is
didn't
really
show anything.
No.
Yeah, but it's very like there's a lot.
But
of
why would you need
tension.
To when you have those dance scenes? You
right,
know?
Exactly. There's a lot of tension, and I can see how it could probably. But again, it's funny that a movie like Grease gets a free pass, and maybe Grease is suggestive, but they talk about a lot of stuff in that
they
movie.
They do. And I was never allowed to watch Grease, and I never got it. I was like, it's a musical. And then I watched it when I was older, and I was like, okay, I get why you had reservations, because like the message isn't really female positive.
Right.
I guess that's the nicest way to, like, change everything about yourself, and then a man will like you. And it's like, that's not, and my dad was very much against that, and I was kind of like, oh, you're being dumb. But as an adult woman, now I completely understand it.
Sure.
And I also still love Grease, even though. But I get why they wouldn't want me to watch this film. And I was also, when did it come out?
87.
Yeah. So I was born in 87. Yeah. So I wasn't even watching this until I was, I want to say like 12 is maybe when I watched this movie for the first time. And I don't think I was allowed to then.
I was 31 the first time I saw this movie.
That was so
it
long
happened.
Ago.
It was on something called a podcast.
Like 12 minutes ago?
Yes, exactly. podcasts were all the rage. Everybody had one. But so something else we should talk about. Is partly the reason I think this was in mine as a Missing Frames is because
yes, I know where this
how
is
recently
going.
Was this? This
it was this last year. Yeah,
they did a TV musical,
one of the live musicals.
Yeah, so they've been doing musicals. This a lot. Where the Grease was one
every year. You get a couple.
What
cool
else have
ones.
They done? They've done.
I know that they're doing Rent, and I'm very excited. I think this year they're doing Rent. I remember they just Grease, did Jesus Christ Superstar,
right? They
which
just
was
did
awesome.
That.
Grease we liked.
And there are a couple others, but I can't
Hairspray
remember.
Hairspray was, I think, one of the first ones.
Yeah, maybe. But Dirty Dancing they did.
Yes.
And Dirty Dancing got absolutely
bonkers
to shreds. And, you know, Dirty Dancing the movie is not a great movie. It's not like an untouchable movie, but it is a classic. And that's kind of, I mean, it has a fan base. It has enough going for it that it is kind of like, kind of is untouchable.
Yeah.
So the fact that they made this TV special, they touched it, and it did not go well. But I think that's hilarious. So I got to look this up. So it was a 2017 TV movie starring Abigail Breslin as the girl, Colt Prats? Prats? I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. But this movie got ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
Because apparently it doesn't capture any of the magic. There's no chemistry.
There's
and then
no
don't
chemistry
they change the ending too?
Yes.
Where it's like she's watching a performance of herself. Like,
yeah,
from
they
back
do
in
some
the day
kind of weird deja vu thing.
Yeah, it's like they're not together for
but
some
the,
reason.
Yeah, the ending, they're not together.
Yeah.
At all. And I'm like, okay, that's stupid. That's not even like a good creative leap. It's Dirty Dancing. Baby and Johnny have to be together.
Right?
It's Dirty Dancing. Like, what are you guys doing?
It's so sad because Jennifer Grey, like I said, I was like, oh, she's not the typical kind of girl. But you watch this movie and it's like, oh, my gosh, she's gorgeous. Abigail Breslin is pretty, but this is going to sound really terrible. There's nothing like sexual about her. And maybe that's because I've seen her in movies like Little Miss Sunshine. I'm still thinking of her as a kid. So it's hard to connect that with Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze.
You need sensuality for this
like,
role.
You feel it immediately.
These two people have no chemistry. Yeah, right? Like not, it's like negative chemistry.
It's,
like when they're crawling towards each other.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's
people,
like awkward.
Look this up. Look up
you can
the
find
Dirty
clips
Dancing
on YouTube.
TV movie. It is so embarrassingly bad. But it's like, it's the awkward, like, we're sexy and we love each other, but like so painfully bad. And it's funny because like we were saying, Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey were apparently fighting a lot, but it doesn't affect their chemistry.
No,
but these two
it.
People probably had no problems with each other. And it's like they're going to church instead of like
I
wanting to
I
make
could.
Out.
One of my favorite pastimes when this happened was just looking up articles and people's Twitter accounts because they got dragged. Like, I mean, it was awful. And we didn't watch it, but we did do some like YouTube research because we're like, okay, we need to see what these clips are all about. And now that you've seen, you saw the clips of some of the famous ones and now you've seen the original.
I've seen the movie now and I just feel like I can understand why people were so defensive about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like why people would get so up at arms and why they would go nuts about it. Hold on, I'm gonna look up some of these Twitter reactions. This is so funny. This is just it's phenomenal to me that it's so a couple people are just saying shut it down. There's a gif of 30 Rock with Alec Baldwin saying shut it down. And I mean, this is amazing. People, someone said somebody needs to put this whole movie in the corner.
No.
And you feel
terrible.
Bad. I mean, it's terrible, but I mean, I feel like there is some lesson to be learned here. I almost want to watch the TV movie now just to kind of compare and contrast. It shows, I mean, yes, I do, because I mean, reading some of these, it's great. But it is kind of like chemistry.
It's a chemistry thing.
Chemistry can make or break your movie. Like I said, Dirty Dancing is not top notch in the story department. It is all their characters and it's all more than their characters, the performances. And if you lose that, you don't have a whole lot going for the movie, which I guess is what happened with this TV movie.
So you're talking about how she is really beautiful now that you've seen her in this film. You're like, okay, I get
it. It wasn't even at the, I'd feel stupid because it's like from the get-go, I was like, oh, she's really pretty.
Gorgeous, yeah. So do you know anything about her nose?
I mean, her nose is a prominent feature of her face.
So she got a nose job like, I don't know, a while ago. She was always really self-conscious of her nose. People talked about it. I thought it was a great feature. She has a beautiful angular face, whatever. But she got a nose job and it was like a botched nose job.
Oh,
so she's always talked about how much she was like, I regret my nose job because I was a noticeable actress. And then overnight, no one knew who I was.
And
if you look at pictures of her now, still gorgeous, but she doesn't look like Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
Like it completely changed her face. And she's always talked about it. She's like, yeah, biggest mistake of my life. Like I was so self-conscious. I was young, whatever. I got it done. No one knew who I was after that. And she says, like, she didn't get roles after that. It's really sad. But she married Clark Gregg, hunky man.
From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. They're married. They have,
Agent
like, a kid.
Agent Coulson.
They've been married for, like, I don't know, early 2000s
I'm
or something.
I'm so happy for both of them.
Yeah.
That's
so it all
so
worked
wonderful.
Out. But it's just funny because it's like, oh, your nose. And she readily is like, yeah,
so,
I screwed up.
Yeah.
I should have kept
it. That's
like,
amazing. That's such a shame because she
is
so,
yeah.
She's so beautiful. And it's like that, the nose, yeah, it's it, you notice it, but it's, you
but
no,
it,
you nose
it. Stop it.
I was trying to do something funny. Again, this is not my episode for being funny. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Well, look a picture. She's
almost
so
like
beautiful,
when, like,
of course,
when, like, somebody has a space between their teeth and it's kind of a feature. It's almost like.
Yeah.
When you
get rid
of it.
Anna Paquin has, like, a really big gap and it's so cute. And she's like, screw you guys, we'll never get rid of it.
Right.
And it's like, if she did, I feel like, I'm like, you wouldn't look like Anna Paquin.
Yeah,
it's like your signature.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So it's, I always thought that was really, like, sad. And she's always been like, yeah, it sucks. I was stupid. Like, you know, I wish I hadn't.
So, with Dirty Dancing, is there anything you picked up this time around that struck you like as different from, because you said it's been a while since you last saw
it. It had been a while.
So is there anything that kind of was like, huh,
I mean, this
or I didn't like that?
I think I liked it more. Like, I don't know. I loved it. It was fun. I think you saw me. I was like clapping and giddy and I was very happy. I will say maybe just because I'm older, I noticed how good the choreography in this movie is.
Yeah.
Like it's really good. It's like, it looks effortless, but it's not. Obviously, a lot of work goes in, especially the big group numbers, like at the beginning and the end. It's like, I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like they really put effort into it and it shows.
That was really great.
Yeah.
I think that first dance scene was when I kind of knew. I was like,
this
is fun.
They dump you right into it. They're like grinding and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was intense. But the first time you see Patrick Swayze come in and dance and it's great. And I was really like, really impressed. I was like, oh, this is fun. And it's great to see him doing it because it's clear that a whole lot of work went into it.
No, and he's clearly a trained dancer.
Yeah.
It's not like someone, I mean, even her, I don't know her background. I don't think she was a trained dancer, but she does well.
The fact that they're both like,
their bodies are just made for each other.
It's beautiful.
Like, yeah.
It's
awesome.
Wonderful. This movie
was
made.
Yeah. What was your question? I'm just gushing.
Patrick Swayze. He's beautiful. But I guess other than that, like favorite scenes in the movie.
I love when they're practicing the lift in the lake and they keep laughing and then she keeps diving. He's like, hold on. And she keeps falling. I think that's cute. And the end is just
great.
I love
it's a great finale.
Yeah.
I knew the finale I knew about, but even then it was still wonderful to kind of see it in context.
It's
in
like
the movie.
Sometimes movies you're like, oh yeah, this will have a happy ending. But you get to it and you're still completely, like, oh, thank God for this cookie cutter happy ending. It's kind of perfect.
It's so weird because, again, I don't feel like the ending is really built to, like, there's no indication, like, she needs to prove herself in front of people. Like, that wasn't really.
It's just organic.
They kind of threw that out, like, at the end of the movie, it's kind of like, I need to, she kind of has a little speech with her dad about, like, how he's never paid it. But it's like, that was never clearly set up in the movie, but because this relationship is so strong and you want to see these people together, even though the movie's kind of a mess, it works. And then at the end when it's like, and now she's going to dance in front of everyone, even though it was like, that was never really a plot point that was, I mean, she trained to help him, but that was kind of separate from anything related. Like she didn't feel like I need to show my parents who I am, you know, it's not the movie, so many of the plot points are not justified by the two main characters. They kind of have their experiences in a vacuum, and then their relationship kind of exists in a vacuum, and then there are 50 different plots going on. But the end, it's still, it's weird how it still works, and I owe it all to you.
It's magic.
It all to them, really. And they're so good in this movie.
This movie is just magic.
Without them, I don't think it would have worked. I really don't. Like, I think I would have been more in tune with,
they're like, such like powerhouse actors, and they work so well with each other, and I don't know. It's great chemistry. Yeah.
I loved that first dance scene. I loved the whole training montage, because it was just so much fun. This movie just has such a fun, upbeat vibe to it.
It does because I
talk about Footloose a lot, but part of my problem with Footloose, and I haven't seen it in a while, maybe my opinion would change, but I remember thinking like Footloose was almost too like it took itself too seriously.
Yeah,
like it felt a little too like this movie does have, you know, there's some stuff in there that's a little ham-fisted, but for the most part there's a sense of like delight and fun and joy in the dancing. I wanted more dancing. I needed more dirty dancing and dirty dancing. But I liked that. I liked their little scene where they're singing to each other and crawling on the floor, which again, you should watch the TV movies version.
Go YouTube that scene, please.
Just to compare. Here's how chemistry can make a movie, and here's how chemistry can break a movie. It's the perfect examples. But I had a lot of fun watching this.
Yeah,
I'm happy I did, too.
I'm really glad you liked it.
I feel like I've been
so
on a streak of hating movies people like, so I'm
glad.
Yeah,
you jerk.
I don't know if any... Literally, I don't think anyone who listens to this show is interested in Dirty Dancing. I think this is not necessarily an episode that people are like, oh, I can't wait to hear what so-and-so thinks about
this. This is a good lesson.
Yeah.
If you're not interested, go watch it.
Yeah,
probably
go watch Dirty
like
Dancing.
It.
I mean, really, we may have spoiled the movie, but you already know what the movie's about.
It doesn't
so
matter.
Maybe, yeah.
You could know it beat for beat, and you'll still have a fun time.
It is a pleasant film.
Yeah.
It's got great dancing, great performances, and I had a lot of fun watching it.
I'm happy about that.
So thank you for showing it to me finally.
Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 5 babies in the corner.
Five?
Okay, I'd give it 3. 3 is...
What the heck?
Yeah, I'd give it 3.
Jack that up half.
It's a solid... No. It's a solid 3. Is right on the cusp of I enjoyed myself. Once
Mine's
you start getting
like
lower,
a 4
it's kind of,
with like a bump 1 for nostalgia.
Right.
That's how my rating is. So it's 5.
I mean, the 3 is really them.
Yeah.
And the movie works. Like I've already said, there are things that are weird about it that don't necessarily add together. But overall, it just works. It's their chemistry. It's them. It's amazing. I there aren't a lot of movies I can think of where it's like the chemistry that makes the movie what it is, like without other elements.
And
so
it goes really fast.
It goes really fast. Yeah. It's like
it's engaging.
Like I said, there's a lot of entertainment value.
Agreed.
But there you go.
I'm so happy you like
it. Yeah, so, and that's that for this episode. So if you enjoy what you've heard, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you might be listening. And again, we'd encourage you to check out The Nerd Party at thenerdparty.com. You can follow The Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party. Like us on Facebook, The Nerd Party. And then you can find me on Twitter at YeShondorman, and we can chat all about Dirty Dancing and how wonderful it is and how it does not make sense. It does not know what decade it's in, but it's okay, apparently. And Sarah, where can people find you if they want to?
With Love Alone on Twitter.
Yay. And that's that. I mean, this is great. I don't know how to finish this other than to say, like, nobody puts this movie in a corner.
Nobody.
It deserves to be out in the open, dancing on stage. And I hope you'll take it.